what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well.
Sing it again.
I have what you need, but you keep on searching. Done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. Spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well.
All the thirst will thirst no more. Souls long for. The world will try, it can never fail. Leave it all behind. Come to the well.
So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while, and you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well.
Oh, God, who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, it can never fail. Leave it all behind. Come to the well.
Now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see living water is found in me, 'cause you've come to the well.
All who thirst will thirst no more, search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never feel. Leave it all behind. Come to the well. All who thirst will thirst no more. All who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind. Come to the well.
So bring me your heart, matter how broken, just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while, and you'll feel the change, my child, when you come.
souls long for. The world will try, it can never fear. Leave it all behind. Come,
leave it all behind.
Leave it all behind. Come to the well. Leave it all behind.
Yes, give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 23 as we continue our series from this wonderful chapter in the Scripture. Psalm 23. Last week we focused on verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Anybody thankful for those green pastures and those still waters? He provides us the nourishment we need in our souls through His Word. And He provides us His Spirit to fulfill us, to give us rest, and to give us peace. And this morning we're going to focus on number 3. He restores my soul. Hallelujah. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. Would you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me today? Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We're asking that You would take Your Word and touch every heart and life today. You know the situations of every person here. And I just thank You, God, that You're able to do above and beyond we even ask or even think. And it's according to Your power that works within us. Father, have Your way in this place. You said Your Word would never return void, but it would accomplish that which You send it to accomplish. And we pray that Your Word would move in every heart and life. We'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Thank you for your prayers today. They can make you, and they can break you. They can be cause for much rejoicing, or they can be cause for much heartache. A bad one can ruin a life forever, but a good one can redeem a life forever. You will frequently rejoice over the good ones, and you will often regret the bad ones. What am I talking about? I'm talking about decisions. Decisions, decisions. They can make you bad, glad, or sad. You know, we all face decisions in life. You made a decision to get up out of bed this morning and come to the house of the Lord. You have made a decision, or you are making a decision right now, whether you're going to worship the Lord as we've been seeing, or whether you're going to worship the Lord as the Word of God goes forth. How many of you know that all of these are forms of worship? We make a decision on whether we're going to worship or not. I don't know about you, but I don't wait for the Spirit of God to come on me before I worship. Worship is a volitional, intentional, deliberate decision that I make. I make a decision before I ever get here that I'm going to lift my hands, I'm going to lift up my voice, I'm going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I make a decision as I get up on Monday morning and decide whether am I going to read the Scripture right now? Am I going to put God first in my day? I make a decision that I will praise Him at all times, I will bless Him at all times, and His praise shall be continually be in my mouth. I decide to praise Him even before the storms come, even before the winds blow, even before trials come my way. I've already made a decision that I'm going to lift up praise to my Lord, because God is good. He is worthy of my praise. Even when there's tragedy in the world, I'm going to pray and call on. I've made a decision. I'm going to intercede for those who are hurting, those who are in pain, those who had to endure such conflict in Charlottesville this week. I've made a decision that God is still on the throne, and I'm going to lift Him up and give Him the glory that is due unto His name, because He's good and He's on the throne. You see, He shares with us that God will love us enough to correct us when we make the wrong decisions. And He will lead us to a place of restoration to make the right decisions. You never have to worry about going God's way or going His path, because His path is always the right path. How many of you believe that? You've got to trust that. You've got to know that. You've got to be assured of that, that His path is the right path. There are some here today who have gotten off the right road onto the wrong road. I'm here to tell you there is hope for you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to put you down. I'm here to say there is hope for you. There is a God who loves you and wants to get you back on the right road. He wants to get you back on the right path, because I'm telling you, the wrong road leads to destruction. It leads to pain. It leads to heartache. But the right road leads to everlasting life. It's the road that God is leading you on. It's the path that He's leading you down. A couple of points I want to make this morning. Not three today. I just got two today. All right? Some of you are saying, praise the Lord, He's just got two. They might not be too long. First of all, when we fall, God lifts us to a place of restoration. He restores my soul. Oh, glory to God. I said, He restores my soul. Literally, that verse means and says, He brings me back. Anybody thankful that the Lord brings you back? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that when I have erred, He loved me enough to convict me, to woo me, to beckon me, to get me back on track. I've been reading through the Old Testament of late, and I see how the Israelites over and over again were warned that you're going into Babylonian captivity, and Jeremiah tried to warn them over and over. All the other prophets tried to warn them, but at the end of the day, even though He was sending them there to correct them, at the end of the day, He loved His people, and He said, I'm going to bring you back. After 70 years, I'm going to bring you back. And what did Jeremiah say in chapter 29? He said, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. I know you've made some bad decisions, and you brought a lot of this heartache on yourself. It's because of your own sin that you're in the situation that you're in. But in spite of our wrongdoing, in spite of our bad decisions, we have a God who is merciful. If you'll just call on Him, if you'll just... Oh, I feel the Spirit of God. If you'll just repent and call on Him, God, restore my soul. I'm telling you, He'll lead you to a place of peace. He'll lead you to a place of restoration. He'll lead you back where you need to get to, on the right path. Hallelujah. Remember that we're talking about the relationship between sheep and the shepherd. There are two dangers that sheep face, and two dangers that only the shepherd can handle when it comes to the sheep. And one of those dangers is that a sheep will become a cast sheep. Anybody know what that means? I'm not asking for you to respond. It's a rhetorical question. In Psalm 42 and 11, the psalmist cries out, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Psalm 42. Now, a Palestinian even today would understand the analogy that is given in that verse. He's referring here to a cast sheep, or a sheep that has been cast down. There is an old English shepherd's term for a sheep that is turned over on its back and cannot get up by itself, and that's the word cast. One of the saddest sights you will ever see is a cast sheep lying on its back, its feet straight up in the air, struggling frantically to stand up, but in a hopeless situation. And this is the position that sheep get themselves into, but they cannot get themselves out of. Sheep are built in such a way that if they ever fall on their side and somehow get over on their back with their legs sticking straight up in the air, they cannot right themselves and stand on their feet. Here's what happens. Sometimes a particularly heavy or a fat sheep will lie down in some little hollow or depression in the ground. It may roll over on its side to stretch out and relax, and suddenly the center of gravity in the body shifts so it turns on its back far enough that feet can no longer touch the ground. And at this point, the sheep becomes very frightened. It begins to kick and to frail. It begins to bleat and cry out. It's frightened because it knows it's open to attack, to the buzzards and the cougars and the coyotes. They're easy prey, just waiting to be killed. And as it lies on its back struggling, gases begin to collect in its stomach, and those gases expand. As they expand, it hardens the stomach and cuts off the air passage. And if it's hot, sheep can suffocate in a matter of hours. Beyond that, blood circulation to its legs is cut off, and the legs go numb. There is not one thing that sheep can do about their predicament. Oh, I don't know if anybody knows where I'm going with this. Unless the shepherd intervenes. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the shepherd intervened. He's still intervening. He's still coming to my aid. He's still coming to your aid. He still cares about where you are. You may be lying on your back and you're spiritually speaking, your feet are kicking up in the air and you feel like there is no way out. I'm here to tell you that the shepherd of your soul is here to put you back up aright and give you life again and ease your afraid state. When the shepherd comes to a cast down sheep, he doesn't do it immediately. He takes time to restore the sheep. First, he will come to the sheep lying on its back with its legs sticking up in the air. The first thing he will do is begin to massage those legs and get the circulation back in them. He will then roll the sheep over on its side to relieve the pressure of gases in the stomach. He begins to talk to the sheep in a very reassuring tone, lower tones, to lower the fear factor. It's going to be okay. I know you were scared, but it's all right. I'm here now. Your shepherd is here. Then he very gently puts his hand under the sheep's belly and lifts it up because it cannot stand up on its own, because its feet are so wobbly. It's been on its back so long, it's lost its strength in its legs. He will hold that sheep there until the blood begins to flow again in the legs and they get some stability. And finally, the sheep is able to walk on its own and rejoin the fold. How many of you know that we all, like sheep, have gone astray? All we, like sheep, have been lying on our backs before, but I'm so thankful for the reassuring, comforting words of the shepherd who said, I know it's bad right now and it seems like you're not going to be able to get out of this, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here to put you back on your feet. I'm here to give you hope. I'm here to give you peace. You may be cast down by guilt. I'm here to tell you, if that is true, the good shepherd has a word for you. He said, if you will confess your sins, in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, "For if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." I like what he said in verse 21. He said, "For he made him," talking about Jesus, "he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." I'm telling you, the shepherd of our souls will take care of that guilt. Hallelujah. It may be that your soul is cast down by grief. If that is so, the good shepherd has a word for you. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 4, he told the apostle Paul, and he's telling you and me today, "My grace is sufficient for you." That word "sufficient" means more than enough. "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Whether you're broken by guilt or burdened with grief, God will restore you. He restores my soul. But there's another danger. It's not just in becoming a cast sheep. It's in becoming a lost sheep. Oftentimes, sheep will begin to nibble on grass and grain, and they don't look up and watch where they're going. They just walk and eat. And it doesn't take a lot of nibbles until the sheep wander off into a field somewhere trying to satisfy their hunger, and all of a sudden they discover that they're not with the fold anymore. How many people do that in churches today? "Well, I ain't getting what I want here, so I'm going to go nibble somewhere else." It may be that you're not always getting what you need. I don't know, but you know what? I think we need to seek the Lord and ask Him to lead us before we decide to leave a church. Amen? You need to make sure that God is telling you to do that, because a lot of times people will leave and I'll try to contact them. They won't even talk to me. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. They're avoiding you. I'm like, can you not just, if the Lord's leading you, can it not suffice it to say, "Pastor, I feel like the Lord's leading me here." And if the Lord's leading you, I don't want to keep you from going where the Lord's leading you, but make sure it's the Lord that's leading you. Amen? Oh, I feel the Spirit of the Lord here today. You see, a sheep is not strong like a lion. It's not swift like an antelope. It's not smart like a dog. The number one characteristic of a sheep, and please do not think that I'm referring to you or me today, but the number one characteristic of a sheep, anybody know what it is? It's dumb. Everybody say dumb. Once a sheep has gone astray, it cannot find its way home. It becomes a matter of great urgency that the sheep be restored to the flock, because first of all, sheep don't even have a keen sense of smell. And left to themselves, they'll eat poisonous weeds, and they'll drink polluted water, and they'll die. And furthermore, sheep are defenseless. You know, tigers can claw, and bears can crush, and mules can kick, and snakes can strike. But sheep are defenseless. No wonder they're so vulnerable and scared when they're laying on their back. They have no way to defend themselves. And the last thing that a shepherd does before he goes to sleep at night is he counts the sheep. He calls them all by name, and if one is missing, he will secure the flock and then go and find that one lost sheep. Because it's the shepherd's job not only to restore cast sheep to their feet, but to go and find the one who is lost. Anybody thankful today for the good shepherd who came looking for you? Oh, I feel God right here. Who came looking for you? I'm telling you, if you're the only one that was left, He would come looking for you, because you're a prized possession of His. You're created in His very image. You belong to Him. You're made in His image. He came looking for you when you weren't looking for Him. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Thank God for the good shepherd of our souls today. Antiques can be restored. Paintings can be restored. Cars can be restored. Homes can be restored. But only God, are you hearing me today, can restore the soul. Man has discovered many remedies for sick bodies, but only God can restore a sick soul. There is only one remedy for guilt and grief, and that is the grace of the Good Shepherd. Secondly, when we falter, God leads us to paths of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The Good Shepherd not only feeds His flock, He leads the flock. He not only provides for His flock, He guides the flock. He not only protects the flock, He directs the flock. And He leads to paths of righteousness. That word literally means the right path. His path is the right path. You see, sheep have extremely poor vision. Are you coming to this greater understanding that we don't have anything on our own? We need the Good Shepherd to help us. We're defenseless on our own. When sheep don't follow the shepherd, they always get off on the wrong path. The Palestinian shepherd was a master at reading tracks. In the Palestinian desert, there were many marks and paths that crisscrossed the land. Some were made by wild beasts. Others were made by robbers lying in wait. But to a sheep, every path looked the same. Sheep do not realize that this path could lead to a wild animal, or this path could lead to a cliff. And I'm reminded of what Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We can think that this is the right way and this is the right path, but if you haven't consulted the Lord and you haven't asked for His leadership and His direction, you may be headed to a place that is destructive to you. It may be a place where there's harm and danger to your life. But the Good Shepherd always leads the sheep on a path to green grass and still waters. Literally, again, it says He leads us to the right paths. I'm so thankful that we have a God who leads us in the right way. You don't never have to worry about where He's leading you. If you'll just put your hand in His hand and you'll just say, "God, lead me in your path." He will always be a path that's beneficial for you. It will always be a path that's helping you. You might wonder at times, "Oh, God, this is not what I asked for. This is not what I signed up for." But God sees the end. He sees where He's trying to take you. Glory to God. He sees your final destination. So you've got to trust the Good Shepherd. Put your hand in His hand and trust Him to lead you. The wonderful thing about our shepherd is this. There's many wonderful things, but here's one I want to point out right now. He always bats 1,000. He never gets it wrong. He never swings and misses. Anybody following baseball right now? Aaron Judge, he couldn't miss anything for the first half of the season. Now he misses everything. He struck out, 37 games in a row? Aren't you thankful that we have a God who never strikes out? Glory to God. He's batting. He never makes a bad decision. He never makes a mistake. He will always guide you to the paths that are right for you, and what a path it is. Proverbs 4 and 18 says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even brighter unto the perfect day." Think about it. This path that God will guide you on is a path of no darkness, a path of no danger, a path of no heartaches. Proverbs 12 and 28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in His pathway there is no death. Even though sheep have poor eyesight, they really don't have to see as long as they're following the shepherd and are staying in his path. I don't have to know everything that he's doing. Only thing I need to know is that I'm with him. Oh, glory to God. I don't have to know all the details. Isn't that what faith is? That doesn't mean I don't want to know them at times. I wish God would send me a memo at times. How about you? God, what do you want me to do right now in this situation? I don't always get that memo. But here's what I do get. Trust me. Trust me. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Listen, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Talk to him. Ask him about it. And he will direct your path. There it is. He will direct your path. So how can we face an unknown future? I like what Corrie Ten Boom said. She made one of the greatest statements in this regard. She said, you never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God you do know. Never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God you do know. Please understand and get this next truth in your heart. As long as the sheep can see the shepherd and stay close to the shepherd, they don't have to worry about the future. They're completely safe. There is only one way the sheep can see the shepherd because of their bad eyesight. They must stay close to him. They can only see about 30 yards out at a time. I think it's about 10 yards. It's only about 10 yards at a time that a sheep can see. The only way they're going to stay close to the shepherd is the only way they're going to be able to follow the shepherd is to stay in his presence and stay close to him. To be led in the paths of righteousness or to be lifted to this place of restoration, there's three things you must do on a regular basis as I begin to wind this down. First of all, ask God to give you wisdom. I don't know about you, but I pray that prayer on a regular basis. God, give me wisdom. Isn't that what James is telling us, the book of James? If any of you lacks wisdom, and I'm here to tell you that we all lack wisdom. If you've got wisdom, you could always use more. So we all lack it. And we need to be asking God, God, give me your wisdom. The Bible says he'll give it to you liberally. He's not going to hold back on it. He's not going to say, well, I'll just give you about 50% of what I got. He's going to give it to you liberally. And without reproach, and it will be given to him. In other words, you are acknowledging that you need me. You're acknowledging me that I'm the creator of your soul, I'm the creator of your life, and that you need me, so I'm going to pour out my wisdom upon you, and I'm going to guide you down the right path. Then, number two, ask God to guide your walk. Ask him to guide your walk. Isaiah 30 and 21 says, you shall hear a voice behind you. You'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will hear a voice behind you. Now, that verse is referring not only to God telling you which way to go, but it's also referring to the way not to go. You hear a voice when you're about to make the wrong turn. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit of God is going to give you direction. You're about to make the wrong turn. He said, no, wait a minute. You can't go that way. This is the way. Here's the way I want you to go. Here's the way I want you to go. I want you to walk in this way, on this path. Don't you think it's better to ask God to direct your path than it is to correct your mistakes. He can correct your mistakes. He's a God of restoration. But why bring unneeded, undue heartache and pain on yourself? Why don't we ask God what He thinks to begin with? God, what do you think? Lord, I don't want to get out of your will. I want to stay on your path. I don't know about you, but that's important to me. To be in the will of God, to be on the path that He has chosen. And finally, ask God to guard your ways. Psalm 139, David prayed this wonderful prayer. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me." See if there are, one version says, "See if there are any anxieties within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How many of you know that we don't have to be afraid to ask the Lord to search us? You should never be afraid to do that. Because when He shines His big flashlight on your soul and He shows you something that's there that you need to get rid of, that you need to relinquish, that you need to surrender to Him, it's for your good. It's because He loves you. It's because He wants to lead you down His path. And that thing that's in your life is keeping you from walking with Him. It's keeping you from joy and peace and fulfillment in life. You can't let that block your relationship with the Lord. I read the story of a mother told about the day her little 3-year-old son was literally on her heels wherever she went throughout the house. She was having trouble getting anything done at home because wherever she went, there he was. She said that wherever she stopped to do something and turn around, she would trip over him. And several times she suggested some fun activities that would give her a break, so that she could get some things done. And he would say, "That's all right, Mommy. I'd rather be where you are. I just want to be where you are." She said the little boy followed her around for hours. And after a while, her patience grew thin. And she said, "Son, why do you keep following me so closely?" The little boy said, "Because, Mommy, my Sunday school teacher told me that to walk in Jesus' footsteps, but I can't see Him, so I'm walking in yours." Do you know why the shepherd leads us? It's for His name's sake. It's for His name's sake. It's for His glory. It's for His honor, that His name might be glorified. We are to be on the path of righteousness, that we might bring glory and honor to Him. And the shepherd's job, according to verse 3, is to lead the sheep. The shepherd's job is to follow the shepherd. The sheep's job is to follow the shepherd. We do it all for the glory of His name, knowing that His way is the right way. His path is the right path. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." If you want to know how to get on God's path, I've got a word for you right here. Get in His presence. When you get in the presence of the Lord, He will show you in His presence the path that you're to be on. Maybe that's why some people try to veer away from His presence, because they know they're on the wrong path and they don't want to be where God wants them to be. But I'm telling you, if you have a heart for God, you want to be where God wants you to be. Anybody want to be where God wants them to be here today? Then get in His presence. Oh God, I want to be on Your path. You said You would show me the path of life. You said that in Your presence is fullness of joy. You said at Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 119:35 says, "Make me walk in the path of Your commandments, for I delight in it." Psalm 119:105, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet. This is the word. This is a word for somebody here today. Ponder the path of your feet. Where have your feet been taking you? What have your feet been doing? And let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. And here's what he said in Psalm 25. He said, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. And in verse 10, he says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And I've got to say it one more time. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3:5, with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. You may be standing in a crossroads today. I really don't know which way to go. There's been some things happening in my life, Pastor. There's been some heartache I've had to deal with. I'm here to tell you, the good shepherd of your soul is saying, this is the way. I bring healing to you. I bring restoration to you. Do not follow that path that leads to evil. Do not let your heart become cold or calloused or hardened to my word or my presence. But open up yourself to me, saith the Lord, and let me heal your heart. Let me breathe healing upon your spirit. And let me take you down the path that I have for you, because it's a path of peace. It's a path of holiness. It's a path of joy. It's a path that will ultimately lead you into my everlasting presence, and there we will be together forever and forever. You will not have to worry anymore. You won't have to doubt anymore. Oh, I'll wipe away all tears from your eyes. There will be eternal joy. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He said in John 10, my last scripture, verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Oh, hallelujah. Say that with me. I am the door. He who enters by me will be saved. Woo! He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. I am the good shepherd, he said. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. How do I know he's good? He gave his life for me. How do I know he's good? How do I know he'll take care of me? He was looking for me when I wasn't looking for him. But God demonstrated his own love toward me. And while I was still a sinner, he died for me, an ungodly man. If you thank God for the good shepherd today of your soul, stand on your feet and give him praise in this house. Worship him with all that's within you. Hallelujah to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, to the good shepherd of our soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe there's some people here this morning that would say, I need some restoration. I need some guidance. I need some direction. I need some healing in my soul and in my spirit. He said, I'm here to restore you. I'm here to lead you down my path. I know the enemy's tried to get you off course, and he's tried to destroy your life. He's tried to destroy you physically. He's tried to destroy you emotionally. But I'm the one who has the final say so. The enemy didn't create you. He didn't make you. I'm the one who created you. I'm the one who has the final say. So don't give the enemy power over you, says the Lord. Oh, I feel the power of God coming over me right now. Don't you give the enemy a foothold in your life. You shut the door to the enemy. You surrender to me, and I will be the one who leads you into my good path for your life, saith the Lord. Come on, give the Lord a praise one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise his name, praise his name. As they're singing it, I want you guys to sing it. And if you feel led to be down in this altar this morning, I want you to come. The Spirit of God is moving on you. We will pray with you. And God will touch you in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, sing it, praise team. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Here I lay my burdens down. Lose my worries in your love.
Some of you just need to be in his presence and find some direction.
Casting every care on you.
Why don't you meet me down in this altar and say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender in your presence.
I have carried them enough.
I surrender to you, Lord.
Here I lay my burden down.
Here I lay my burdens down.
Lose my worries.
I put them at your feet, Lord Jesus.
Lose my worries in your love.
Thank you, Lord.
Casting every care.
Casting every care on you.
I've carried them long enough.
I have carried them enough. We're not alone here within his love. Emmanuel, he is still with us.
Near the cross
I will remain.
Until every fear is still.
Until every fear is still.
At the mention of your name.
At the mention of your name.
When the world becomes.
When the world becomes too much.
Near
the cross I will remain. Until every fear is still.
At the mention of your name.
At the mention of your name. We're not alone here within his love.
We're not alone.
We're not alone here within his love. Emmanuel, he is still with us.
Mercy is full.
Lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord, mercy is falling, falling. Lift up your hands, receive it now. Presence of the Lord. I know your past is broken, but you can move on. It's over now. Here in the presence of
our past is broken.
It's time to move on.
You can move on. It's over now. Here in the presence of the Lord. Tired of running, running.
Just be still.
Be still and know He's in control. Here in the presence of the Lord.
Open your arms. Open your arms to
hold you now. Here in the presence of the Lord. Tired of running, running.
Just be still.
Be still and know He's in control. Here in the presence of the Lord. Pour out your heart before Him. Open your arms, He'll hold you now. Here in the presence of the my worries in your love, casting every care on you. For I have carried them enough.
Here I lay my burden down.
Here I lay my burdens down.
Yes, I do, Lord.
Lose my worries in your love.
Cast my care on you.
Casting every care on you.
Carry them long enough.
I have carried them enough.
Sing it again. Here I lay my burden down.
Here I lay my burden down.
I give it to you, Jesus.
Lose my worries in your love.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Casting every care on you.
I've carried them long enough.
I have carried them enough. We're not alone here within His love. Falling, lift up your hands, receive it now. Here in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many of you already know about Brother Rick Moody's situation, but in case some of you do not know, I want to ask you to join me in prayer. Brother Craig is going to stand in for him this morning. In just a moment, I want you to stretch your hands toward him. Brother Rick, early Monday morning, this past Monday morning, was taken to the ER, and make a long story short, he's still in the hospital right now. He's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. There's some unknowns there, but we're believing God to work his miraculous work in his life. Rick and Robin together agree, they're believing God for this, and I'm asking you to join me. How many of you know that God is a healer? He's been performing healings in people in this church of late. I don't know if you know that or not, but and Brother Earl's going to share something in just a moment to build our faith. But God is moving. God is great. He's on the throne. He's working on our behalf. And I believe God can touch Brother Rick. He was in so much pain yesterday evening when I talked to him on the phone. He needs God to intervene and touch him today. Would you stretch your hands toward this direction? Father, we anoint Brother Craig as he stands in for Rick and for Robin. Father, for this family, we're asking for your glory to be revealed, for your power to be in demonstration, for your miraculous power to be revealed. Father, you're able to touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet right now in the name of Jesus. Go to the very root of this problem, this sickness, this disease. We come against it in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We come against that devil of cancer in Jesus' name. We cancel it in your holy name. We speak the healing power of God over him. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, we believe you to do great and mighty and powerful things. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Touch Robin and minister to her. Give her grace. This entire family, Lord, Bobby and Melinda, and every single one in the family, we ask you to touch them and minister to them. Give them grace today.